KBJ. I'll be here for comments.
I got you. Matter of fact, I had you checked in for comments. I'm sorry. I apologize for missing you. But go ahead, Steve.
KB0KBJ. It's been a joy to listen in tonight and hear all the chattering. Yeah, radios and buttons and features. That got me to thinking when you were talking with Daniel about that. They got pagers and Morse code trainers, and those are on handhelds, you know, and options how to hook it up to the computer and control it from the computer, and things you're like, what is that? Until you need it, you don't need it. Then you figure, oh, okay, that's where I do this setting, you know. But I think one of the most interesting things I've heard of, I've never seen it, it's in a handheld, not a mainstream handheld. It's not made anymore. Was a mosquito repeller. I always wanted to see if that thing would work.
Well, let me get this right. So with all the other functions on the radio, it also had a mosquito repellent. I'm assuming it created a certain sound that would run mosquitoes away. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, I never had one and never seen one really with it, but I, like you, I'm guessing that's what it did, yeah, unless some little propeller came out and zapped them or something, but that was a funny little option, you know.
I've never seen that, I have not. That's pretty interesting, though. I would say it probably created some kind of frequency or some kind of tone. And let me guess, there's probably no way the human ear could hear it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm guessing. So I think it was on a Lingo handheld. I'm not sure. But yeah, some frequency is supposedly mosquitoes ran for their lives, you know. Which they do have them now. You buy them in stores, you know, within 10-foot radius. Maybe it was a man, you know, forerunner to the things you buy in stores now. But yeah, talking about diddling and radios. I first opened up, first time I did that, I didn't realize I was doing a little modification. I had to remove, the one diode, you know, or the resistor. And I didn't have to, but I wanted to. So I opened up the radio, and that right there is the one on the left side of five, you know, in a row. I get my little screwdriver out, start prying. Boy, that thing is sticky on there. Well, I finally got it off. When it came off, about two or three more in the line disappeared, flew away, and disappeared down in the carpet. Well, that's not going to happen. I can't find them. They're small. Hope it works. Put the cover back on, powered up. It worked, thankfully.
I experienced that this week with this Yaesu, and I'm gonna tell you, I had to use a magnifying glass to even see the solder joint, and I got the smallest tip I had on my soldering gun, and it was still way too big, and I don't know, I just a little bit of stress. There, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, well, if I send it off to Yaesu, this is all they're going to do to it, and I don't know what they're going to charge me, and it would take, I don't know how many weeks, I guess, to get it back. So I just said, okay, well, let me try, and if I, you know, if I mess it up, then I'll send it to Yaesu, and they can charge me twice the amount. But I did it, you know. That's a rarity with me, is that it never, ever works out the first time, ever. Matter of fact, our motto here out at the farm is, well, you know, if we can't get it right the first time, we'll get it right the fifth time. So I understand. I do. But that was enjoyable. It was. So KO4 KB0 KBJ Steve KO4 NUE. Go ahead, sir.
Modified my approach instead of just brute force. I started using the solder iron to kind of weaken up the at least one side of it, pop it up, you know. And I had to grind the tip down to just a little needle of a thing, you know, so it wouldn't be all over the place, melting everything else. But it's fun. Talking about, well, you know, near me, they've got to switch it from the radio to where you're going. Over there, near me, there is about an hour away up here, nearby is where I live. There's a museum, private museum, open to the public. And I went there once, and there was a lot of airplane tanks and all this such and stuff. And they had a landing craft there with the statues of soldiers coming off, as in they were coming off the landing craft onto the beach in Normandy. So. Then it said in a small sign that the sand that you see in front of you is actually from the beach of Normandy. At that point, I was like, ooh, don't touch, it said. I was like, who's around? I got a touch. So I did. So I guess I can say that I have touched the sands of beach in Normandy, even though I've never been there.
I love the World War II era. I'm not sure what it is that fascinates me about it. I don't think it's got anything to do with war. I think it's just the caliber of men and women that was in that conflict. Just the amount of fortitude that you had to have just to be a part of that. It's just unimaginable to me. And I think that's the interesting, the most interesting thing for me about it is just to have a better understanding of, that generation and what they went through. And, there is a possibility that if you think about it, some of those men that were born in that era, some of them went through the Great Depression. I'm not sure if it's possible. I'd have to do the math, but it might be a possibility that some of them went through World War One and World War Two. I'll have to math that out in my head. But just the things that those men experienced and had to do is just, I don't know, it just absolutely fascinates me. I just trying to get a better understanding of it, and I think that's part of my curiosity, I guess. But like I said later on, earlier in the net, me and my wife have been to, that's all on our bucket list. And we went to Dachau a couple years ago and visited the concentration camp there in Germany. And, Steve, I gotta tell you, man, that was, I'm not sure how to describe that. I think there was probably some emotion there that I've never had to deal with as a human being. just could not and still cannot wrap my hands around it. One thing that I did see, though, that was very interesting when we were there was that it is a requirement for high school children in Germany who, before they can graduate high school, it is a requirement that they go to a concentration camp and tour that concentration camp for the day. And the teacher was with them when we were there, and I wish you could have seen the expression on those teenagers' faces when they went through Dachau to see how that place functioned and what it did. I can tell you that, you know, teenagers are always joking around and never really serious about anything. I can tell you that there was some humility there, and some understanding of what took place there. And that was encouraging to see, you know. But with that, Steve, I'll turn it back to you.
Not having been there myself, but obviously you've left a really big impression on you. I can tell just as you speak. I've got a buddy over there in Germany who I chat with, and he's got a great interior with bullet holes still in it, you know. He sent me a picture of him one time. It was interesting. Yeah, you did see the caliber of man, and I agree. Born in 1900, you'd be about 18. You could have squeaked in if you had been near the end of World War One, you know, and lied on your age, or you got in at 16. You could have been in your 40s in World War Two. So yeah, you could have seen both. But I like you. I'm really interested in that stuff. Good to know history, you know. That's something they want to get rid of nowadays. But it's not right. You're supposed to remember that. There's a reason for that. So you don't repeat the mistakes of the past. I guess that's enough for me tonight. I'm going to head in. Shut eye. It's been good chatting with you, Chad. Over.
Well, when you heading back? Glad you came down to the area. I know you check in on EchoLink a lot, and appreciate you checking in with the net on RF. That's kind of neat. But you have a safe trip back, and be safe. And let us know when you get back home. Check into the net, I guess, on EchoLink. Let us know. But anyway, appreciate you dropping by, and. Appreciate you. This is KO4NUE. Are there any more stations, Alpha through Zulu? Please call KO4NUE or Net Control. Okay. Are there any additional comments that any would like to make for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call KO4NUE. Please stand by for my net report. JBQ KO4NUE.
NUE, KK4JBQ here.
That was my radio or what, but did that give you a number of check-ins? Oh, hit the refresh button while you're on the net login screen. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I can't get it to broadcast the number of check-ins. I'll talk with Dave about that, I guess. But 63 total check-in and 3 pieces of traffic for anybody that's interested. So, I'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 7-3s to all on the net, and it's been a pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, 7-3s to all, and have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. I am clear. JBQ, KO4NUE.
JBQ.
I appreciate you helping me along with the check-in tonight. Dragging things out just a little bit to get the check-ins, but it all worked out. But anyway, just want to say thank you. And I guess that's it. I'm gonna have to step out of here and go lay down. I'm exhausted. There's a little bit of stress that comes with this, you know.
Oh, I know. It's might I say that it's a bit of a performance, you know. You know what there is to do. You got a script there for the net, but then everything else is ad lib. I've had a little experience in community theater lines. I even had to learn to dance a waltz for one play. But the fact is that the playwright gave you all your words. And so you just study the thing and you're good to go. But how about somebody that just stands there and just off the top of your head, and you do it as good as anybody I've ever heard. It's a part of your nature, and we all benefit. You know, it's like sitting there listening to a storyteller. I don't know if you've ever done that. I went to Jonesboro, Tennessee once. They have a storyteller convention there, and you'll sit around a big crowd of people, and you're all just quiet. Just very quiet, and sometimes the storyteller will whisper, and you want to hear that. So, it's all just flowing out of you, and that takes a special. You're comfortable with yourself, you know, and you don't have any reservation, and we all enjoy it. So. This is great. This has been a long net, but it's been a good net. And 63 is a great number. It's kind of rare these days. Congratulations to you. KK4JPQ.
I thought it was pretty good. And I just want to let you know, I thought of you and Walt today, and Andy. Kurt called on the radio today and was just really struggling with his radio. I think he had been to a couple of stores that, you know, install electronic devices in cars and things like that. Rogers Stereo and one other place, I think he said. And they would not put the radio in the car. I don't know what the deal was, but they wouldn't do it. So he had reached his frustration level today. So he was on the radio, and I was on the way back from Pickens. And I just thought of you and Walt today and thought, you know, hey, this is an opportunity to pass it forward. So he drove all the way from Pelham Road, and we put his radio in the car, and boy, I'm gonna tell you, he's got a nice radio. You know, little detachable faceplate. It was an ICOM dual band, and you know, we put the faceplate up on the dash and mounted the transceiver underneath the seat. you know, so there you go. I mean, there again, not about the radio, but just got an opportunity to meet somebody again, and just, you know, super nice guy, you know. Very interesting fella. And that's the part I'm enjoying, is just, you know, being able to meet new people and just be a part of that, you know. But like you said, you know, being in radio is a lot of things for a lot of people, and it's a lot of different things. And, you know, like I said, I enjoy the radio, but it's just the people. So KO4NUE and KK4JBQ.
JBQ, yeah, it is just like you say. And I don't know, I probably have mentioned this podcast before. And maybe the best way to explain it is, years ago, there was an effort by NPR, National Public Radio, for members of the audience, if they knew someone who had been around a while, you know, someone in their 80s, maybe even 90s, to interview them before time ran out. Time's running out on everybody, but, you know, the older ones among us, it stands to reason that we're nearer the end than others. So they call this a living history. And there is a fella over in Israel. His name is Eric Guth. Don't ask me to spell that last name. And he does this with hams that have been around a long time. Interviews them. Sometimes it'll go for over an hour. And this is the most interesting listening that I've had in a long, long time. You can learn a lot by listening to elders. I think that word came up several times in the net tonight. I was listening to one this past week, and there's a point near the end that he always asks this loaded question, and it was, and what do you think we need to do to promote the hobby, to ensure that it continues? And he said something that the host had never heard before. This hobby is a lot of fun, and this is true. It is a lot of fun. It is a hobby, but it's also a service, and that's not the part. He said, what we need to offer new hams is a challenge. We got into this hobby because it was a challenge. We stay in this hobby because we are continually challenged. And you've not reached the end, as you've admitted tonight. You've not reached the end when you've taken your extra class exam and you've taken all your tests. You still have a lot of learning to do. And so I really think that was probably the best one I've heard. And I've heard almost 400. This guy has had a lot of interviews. Almost 400 of them. We need to challenge the younger folks, the people that are just getting into this hobby, if they be 7 years old or 70 years old. We need to challenge people. That was worth everything right there to me. But how do you do that? KK4JBQ.
Training classes. I'm personally the kind of person, when I meet a challenge and it is something difficult to understand or difficult to do, I'll think about it for a little bit. And the reason I'm thinking through that is, okay, if I commit to this, I'm going to do it. No matter what it's going to take to do it, I'm going to do it. And that causes me to hesitate sometimes. But the reason that I'm bringing this up is that the challenge was, I don't know, I guess, you have to have a certain level of challenge, I guess, just to go take the test. Because that's a lot. You know, you go, and you know this, but, you know, you get up enough gumption to figure out what I need to do to even get a license, and that's enough to scare most people off. And then when you expose yourself to, you know, some of the questions on the test, and you're going, oh man, what is this? I never heard anything like this. You know, I don't even know what a high honors fear is. The questions like that. And so, you know, or I've learned that when somebody emerges on the backside of taking that test and coming out of it, passing it, that, okay, they've got a certain kind of drive in them to begin with, just to get this far with it. So I think the challenge is built into them. I think the key is, in order to answer your question, how do you challenge them, is that you do exactly what y'all did. You know, step down a couple of notches and say, hey, you know, been there. And if you're willing to learn, we're willing to put the information out. And just kind of see what happens. And I mean, that was a driver for me, because when you mix a little bit of frustration with a driven person, and then you have, you know, an inkling that somebody is willing to help, oh, I think that's just automatic. But it just, you know, it takes a lot just to ask questions like that. I mean, it's first couple nights when I was asking you and Walt, I just thought, man, these people, they're going to think I'm an idiot, and I am. But I just, you know, you don't have any other option. And I'm not going to do that. I am not. I am going to. I don't always care what people think. You do what, you know, you do what you think is right. And sometimes that's, or what you think you need to do. And sometimes that's not easy. But I hope that there are other people that check in and that they ask questions, and you and Walt can, you know, extend the same kind of help that you know, the kind of people I know y'all are. And I think that makes a big difference, is that, hey, you know, these guys will help you. They ain't going to make fun of you either. They're going to help you. But I think the drive is built in or automatic. KK4 NUE, KK4 JBQ.
KK4 JBQ. Well, right near the end there, I heard something that it's always puzzled me, how people can imagine that other hams, no matter how long you've been in this hobby, no matter how much you know, that we would make fun of anybody. That fear just doesn't register with me. I've never observed it. I've never heard it. Now I've heard some things that did not impress me. QRM, it's called in the Q code, some malicious interference. I've heard some of that, and that was not a ham speaking, but someone that just thought they would interrupt what's going on and put their two cents in and insult somebody. But that's not in this family. That's not the community that we belong to. And it's very exceptional, you know. It's just very rare to hear that kind of thing. And when you hear it, you just ignore it. Make that person think that they're not getting out. That they, you know, they don't know enough anyway to know whether they've opened the repeater, whether they're being heard. When I got the button down here, I can't hear myself. I mean, I can't hear what you hear. So this has worked, you know, that just to ignore malicious type of things. But otherwise, it just doesn't exist to make fun of anybody. If someone's really inquiring, it doesn't sound dumb because we've always been there. You know, all of us have been in a place where we didn't know something. Now we're in a place where we do. And it is a pleasure to share that with someone else because you can share your, you know, how you came to know it. And whether that's, you know, I read it in a book or somebody else taught me or I kept making the mistake until I wasn't making the mistake anymore. You know, it's always, but nobody makes fun of anybody else. KK4JBQ.
So that was a big fear. It really is, and I just like I said, I remember when I walked out of that testing facility on the technician level. I was so excited. I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was. And I drove all the way to Gastonia. So, probably 45-minute drive home. And, you know, I had already got my... My Yazoo was on back order. I waited 110 days, 120 days for it. So I just got on Amazon and found a Yazoo mobile and set it up down at the shop when I came back from getting my license and spent all day, you know, putting my antenna up and just enjoyed the whole process and this, that, and the other. And just thinking, okay, I got my license, I'm licensed to operate, and I got this. 4 days. You won't talk about frustration. Oh my word. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? I don't know what I'm doing. Oh man. Oh, that was so funny. And then when I first time I get on the radio, you know, I didn't know what to say. When I figured out I needed to put a PO tone in it and a negative offset, and I get on the radio and first thing out of my mouth on the 2-meter net was CQ, CQ, CQ. I think it was Steve and Dave and Daniel, I think, were talking. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I will forget that. Well, yeah, so anyway, KL4NUE, KK4JBQ.
Well, I'm going quite certain that everybody can remember their first time breaking the squelch on a repeater. Or if you were, you know, if you didn't approach amateur radio in that way, you threw out on an HF frequency, you threw out a CQ. It's a big step. I don't know. It's a big step for some folks to push the button and speak. I had an advantage. I don't know if I've ever spoken to you about performing on stage, but I spent most of my 20s and, well, my teens and my 20s performing on stage with a microphone. And I got broke. I really got broke. I think it was probably the largest crowd that my group ever had. There were a little over 10,000 in the audience. It was in Memphis, I believe. And I sat down with my guitar. It was my solo. Sat on a stool. And I would be playing with a pick, however, I didn't bring one with me. So I turned around to the band and I said, "Does anybody have a pick?" And it broke. It shattered, for me at least, it shattered this wall between me and the audience. They laughed. They laughed heartily. It wasn't a nervous laugh. So I wasn't made nervous. And that was, for me, I don't know, it's hard to bring you into this so many years later, but that was, for me, a point where I became comfortable with the audience and the microphone in front of me. I heard another member say once that what you need to do when looking out over a vast audience of people is to talk to one person. Pick one somebody who looks like they've got, you know, that they're looking back at you. You have their attention. And just sing to them. Just the one person. And that works. So I had a bit of an advantage as far as the microphone goes. But still, what do you talk about? And then I realized that I also have this other gift, and you have it too. You may not have thought of it this way, but when you open your mouth and let your thoughts out, it's a stream of consciousness. You are thinking of something, and you have no problem with words. They come. They just stream out. It is a gift, and some folks don't have the gift, not yet, but it's easy to get. You just open your mouth, and it'll get more and more comfortable as you go. KK4JBQ.
I was pretty shy growing up, and, you know, when you get in the military, you start having to stand in front of, you know, a squad, and then to get used to that, and then you move up the platoon level, and you get used to that, and then company level, and then, you know, when you, at the end of my career, being in front of a brigade, I mean, that's four companies. And you figure there's 200 men and women in a company. You know, you just kind of move through that in stages, and you get kind of used to it. And just people want to hear what's on your mind. I mean, just. Don't be vulgar, and don't have a little couth about you and a presence, I guess. But I think the important thing for me is that, you know, there are some listeners who, because of COVID or because of health reasons or whatever, that can't get out. And you know, they don't have an opportunity to go and do and this, that, and the other. And this is an opportunity for everybody on the net to bring a little bit of joy into somebody's life. You know, recognizing their call sign, or just talking with them for a few minutes, or, you know, I've never met Miss Lorena, ever. I know she lives in Piedmont, that's all I know. But, you know, I mean, that was a pleasure talking to her, and, I mean, it kind of sounded like she enjoyed talking on the radio a little bit, too. And then, you know, there's a couple other people, I don't want to say any calls, but, you know, just physically can't get out. And just to be able to bring some joy to somebody, I think that's what this net is good about doing. And everybody's good at it. I mean, if they weren't, they wouldn't come to the net. You know, there are some nets that's, you know, six check-ins. I'm not saying there's an issue with that. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a reason people come here, and it's, you know, it's a way to socialize. And I think that's pretty important, especially for humans, to be social and be, you know, mindful of that. You be mindful of other people's feelings and try to help. And I have experienced that myself with the people on this net. And that's, you know, I've got, I don't know, 10 or 12 repeaters in this radio. And I just, you know, I don't go to any of them. It's no point, no need, you know. These people are nice and professional and respectful and just a joy to talk to. And I think that's that way for everybody here. And I just, you know, just feel privileged to be able to do this, to have a license. And it is a privilege. And to have other people, you know, speak into me and impact me, you know, that's a good thing. It really is, you know. Some people may not see it that way, but that's the way I see it. But anyway, KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
4JBQ. Well, you know, you're making me think about some things that are fundamental, and some experiences that I've had with fundamentals. I think you heard me talk once about crossing a line. We won't talk about that, but you can do that in a bad way. You can do that in a good way. So let me recall crossing a line. Some ham friends of mine, people I met right here on this net, we decided, because some of us had met this other ham who had been in the hobby for quite a while, and we're having a lot of problems with their antenna. And didn't currently have a radio. So I think the antenna failure was the reason why he got rid of his radio, but it came to the attention of three of us. And we got together and we said, well, now we'll just go over to his house and we'll see what's the matter with that antenna. And we'll scare up a radio and see that it's installed for him, and that he can reach this repeater and get him back on the air. Well, I learned a lot in that one visit. I learned that this ham was blind and could not understand why, when his antenna fell over, and the 2-meter antenna, and the tip of it touched his aluminum siding. You know, that'll completely detune the antenna. So, and the siding quite often is somebody finds its way to ground. So every bit of energy he was putting out of that radio was going right into the ground. None of it was radiating. But he couldn't know that because he couldn't see that. So we righted his antenna and put in some new coax and took the radio that we'd found for him. And I left. I crossed a line. I'd reached out and helped somebody. That was, I will always remember how good that felt. And believe me, Chad, some people don't know that good feeling. They've never had the opportunity, perhaps. They never thought they knew something that anybody else would be interested in. They didn't know how to help. They didn't want to do it alone and couldn't find others that were willing. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why this happens, but you should feel privileged. I know I do. To know that wonderful feeling of helping somebody reach and get past a problem. We were helping him with his radio. There were other problems that we couldn't address, of course. But we accommodated. I think that's an operative word here. We gave him what he needed to get on the air. And he was so terribly thankful. KK4JBQ.
You're right. That's a good feeling to be able to, you know, lend a hand. And I remember Dad telling me one time when I was, you know, got back from last deployment, was struggling a little bit. Is the difference between a hand out and a hand up. And, you know, that, for me, that said it all right there. You know, hey, I'm not going to hand out. Now you going, I'm going to help you up. And you're going to have to get on your own 2 feet. And, you know, stay with you while you can. And, you know, things like that, people don't forget, you know. I mean, there might be a time when, you know, I need some help or this, that, and the other. I'm not saying that's the reason I'm doing it. It's not. It's just an opportunity to meet people that generally are nice people. I mean, I had one incident that's happened since I've had my license that I did not care for at all. But, I mean, that's with anything. With anything at all. But I don't know, man. I heard Kurt today and he had had it. I mean, he had had it. He was done. So I just thought to myself, I was on the way back from picking, and I thought, oh, man, he's hit a wall. So I know what that feels like. And it just, you know, it was a good day. I got to spend some time with my cousin today and got to help him. That's always a nice, you know, feeling to share in his life a little bit and help him out. And, but, at any rate. All right, Larry, well, it's getting close to midnight, bud. I'm gonna have to say 7-3 and, go get me some rest. We got a big couple of days coming up. But hey, if nobody's told you, I'm not ashamed to tell you. I appreciate you. And, appreciate everything you've especially done and still doing, you know. And I'll leave it at that. But this is KO4NUE, and I'll be clear on your final, Larry.
4LCI.
During that day, when we helped him get back on the air, just something to keep your eyes peeled for, and that is the thing that will come in, you weren't expecting it, but you'll always remember it. When we were helping this fellow, we brought some tools and we did some work with stabilizing the antenna, okay? And I worked with another fella probably the first time ever that I've worked with somebody who knew as much about tools as I did and had the same respect for them. And he could, because he maybe learned it the same way, I don't know, but he knew exactly what needed to be done. And so when we were helping one another, it was like one mind was working, you know. We both knew what the goal was, and we both were going to get there. But it was so easy to work with. And I'll always remember that feeling. I said to myself, I said, wow, I never really felt this way, working alongside of somebody, and they knew exactly what needed to be done next, and if it was a tool that you needed, they would reach for it and hand it to you. You didn't have to ask. I don't know, you probably felt that way, but I hadn't before, and this really was a gift to me, it helped me understand something. Anyway, you have yourself a good night's rest. If you're needing some help at the art supply store tomorrow, feel free to give a call. And we'll get through that. We want to get you there with the right materials. Say goodnight to Anna for me, won't you? This is KK4JBQ 73.
Well, see, whenever he comes over there to see you, Larry, he was wanting to know what Ray Allison looked like. Show him that picture of Ray Allison in that from the early 1980s. So he'll know at least how Ray Allison looked back then.
VIKK4JBQ. I will do that, Andy. Listen, you have a good night too, won't you? Like Chad, I'm my tired is showing. it's getting along about midnight. So I'll say goodnight to you, Andy. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
It's like today when I've been here, I've been listening to these up here run all over the place chasing bears today, and they'll do it for the rest of the week next week too. So KI4LZI.